Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Diablo. Three. Happy birthday to you. Yes, that's right. In case you've been living under a rock, Diablo 3, it turned 4 this past weekend. So there you have it. The 3 is now a 4. But is it Diablo 4? That we don't know, but it's something. I'm sure there's Illuminati or something like that we can go through and figure it out about how this is definitely the game turned 4, so there's going to be a fourth game. There's going to be, yes, that's definitely it. I'm sure there's going to be it. That's how we can confirm the next game. But anyways, we're going to go through and get on with the show now, which unfortunately, I would like to go and start off with sorry for no episode last week. Both Steven and I just scheduling and all that other type of stuff didn't fill up or could make the show last week. And again, this week, Leviathan couldn't make the show. He's got some stuff going on that prevented him from being here tonight. But don't worry, we should hopefully be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week with the two of us. But until then, we kind of have another solo episode, so it'll be a little bit shorter than our normal 2 hour long rantings and ramblings. Though there is a lore question, so who knows? There might be 2 hours of me just ranting and raving on about something lore related. We will see. But I guess to start off with, I'll do my weekend gaming, which, for the first time, I have finally completed Guardian, which is like a big like load off of my shoulders as far as like pressure for building on the season, because it always came down in season 4 and season 5 where I had all this crap like just like going on that prevented me from playing like kind of towards the end of the season, and I would be so close. So it's like one of those like, oh, I only need like one more conquest, or I just need to get an ancient weapon so I can clear like 5 greater rifts higher or something along those lines. It's fine. I don't have to really push it or play today. And then they announce like the season's ending and I have 2 weeks, and then I'm looking at my schedule and I'm like working like 70 hours. So these last 2 seasons just barely eluded my grasp of being able to go through and grab Guardian. And now here I've gotten it just a couple weeks into the season, so it's like, yes! I guess power creep is real. Like, real, real. Like, definitely real. But that's one of the big things for me, and also just like I'm already matching, I'm close to matching my Paragon level, like non-season, even though last season I had broken my Paragon level for my non-seasonal character already, and now I'm almost matched it just a few weeks in. So even with like the experience nerfs to the higher than level 70s for the greater rifts, it's, I don't know, I guess just being able to like constantly run even just level 70 greater rifts as opposed to like 60s and 65s is a really huge difference compared to last season. But it's been a treat. And I know we asked you like how a bunch of the listeners have been doing in their season. Would love to ask the question again, so feel free to go ahead and shoot us email about where you're at with your seasonal goal and your seasonal journey. And this is one of those ones that I really like the portraits that we had gotten for seasons 4 and 5, but the season 6 one with like the bone and kind of like that undead feel to it, I had to have it. I was like, I've got to get Guardian on this one. And lo and behold, damn. Yeah, I had to say that I was confident I was going to get it this season. I didn't expect to be able to get it so quickly. And to go in kind of to round out all this like positivity and this happiness and joy and excitement, I ripped over the weekend. It was actually, I think it was what, Monday? Or was it Sunday? I can't remember which day it was. I think it was Sunday now. I had it was lag. It wasn't on Blizzard's side, it was on my side. My modem started crapping out. I immediately just went through and did a trace route to see where it was, and the modem was pinging as the modem ping was timing out, and then everything else on the other side was fine. So that kind of sucked, especially when it's on your own equipment. But I lagged out going through, and it was I finally decided, hey, I got Guardian. I've got some free time now. I don't have to go and just like chain run Greater Rifts and stuff to level gyms. I can actually go and start farming some cosmetic items now. And I had like just found my first Menageris Goblin. I got Hunger, or I think it was like basically the little Gom Pet was the one that I had gotten, and then. All of a sudden, lag hit me, and I got killed, I think, by like a Khazra spearman, like out in the southern highlands. So, that was kind of painful and brutal. But I guess, I was wearing like one of my best sets of gear, but I was doing my I was using Unhallowed Essence just so that way I could like speed through stuff really quickly with a pair of Dinettas. Which I really should have, since I was using Dinettas, I should have put my Yang's Recurve and Dead Man's Legacy in the stash, but I had them on me. So I lost that full set, but luckily my Marauder set was better, and that was sitting in the stash tab. I have a level 1 Gem of Ease, so it's going to be a little bit of a pain getting the level back up, barring power levels, which I've gotten a couple offers, of course, but I don't know. I like doing the leveling my own. I do have a Hellfire Ring and an amulet, so it should still go super quick even without the Gem of Ease. So as soon as I get that next Demon Hunter back up to 70, it's just going to be going back. I lost my gems, which that does suck. I've got some other ones that are kind of leveled, but I'll bounce back from this one real quick. No problem on that one. What was painful is this is like one of my rebirth characters, so she was closing in at like 200 hours played, and now I am never going to replace that monk on my profile. On the web profile that you can do, because it always shows your hero with the highest game time played, which I really shouldn't be surprised, because it was a soft core monk. It was the first monk that I played. If I want to actually replace that instead of this like really really sad like level 70 monk with Paragon like 122 with like all yellows, and I think I'm pulling it up right now, and yeah, I'm wearing like Kane's set pants, not the level 70 version, but the level 23 one. So it's just really bad if you check my profile that this is the first thing that you see is this really sad, sad softcore monk that's never been touched, besides like getting her to 70 really fast, just to, like be able to go and do something. And I think the only reason why I even have that monk, now we're going down like story lane, is the only reason why I even have that softcore character up to level 70 was because the old Play Your Way streams that they did, I got invited to one, but it was going to be softcore, so I had to try and hurry up and get that monk up to 70 and then like power farm gear as much as I could. I just couldn't find anything. I don't know why I'm wearing the Kane's pants in the profile. Not quite sure on that one. I'm pretty sure that I do have better, but that was like a stream where I think we were trying to push like some greater if 30s or 35s, maybe even a 40, because this was season 2-ish, I want to say something like that. But yeah, I was just getting wrecked like every 5 seconds. I was dying more than Brandy, which if you remember the old Play Your Way streams, no offense. Brandy, that she had the habit of dying a lot, during those events. But yeah, that pretty much will sum up my week in gaming. And of course, like I mentioned in the opening, Diablo 3 just turned 4, so it's a nice big birthday there on May 15th. And it looks like we're even though we didn't have any like real big celebration, they are doing what looks like a series. It has Diablo Then and Now item comparison evolution, and it looks like we're probably going to be. This isn't the. This is like the first of those articles instead of the last, and it goes through. And Nevelist just put a really great post together, like highlighting a bunch of the differences, showing what it was like, and so that way you could even go and just easily compare whether an item was an upgrade or not, instead of having to go and look at things that was like, well, they're similar damage, but this one has more dex, so which one does more damage for me? And just like some of the improvements that they've made to the game since launch and going into Reaper, and then from Reaper into the subsequent patches. I'll be really interested in seeing what else they will go through in post, and kind of like this memory lane type thing. But talking about Diablo's birthday, it does make me want to, go and talk about some of my memories of Diablo, especially back in the beginning, which, who can forget, of course, Era 37. I saw a lot of people going through and posting pictures, not just like celebrating Diablo's anniversary over the weekend, like, happy Era 37 day, but people just like doing like Facebook posts of their screenshots of this is me trying to play Diablo, at midnight type thing. At least to me, I found it funny that this is where we started, and then of course here we are, now where this is not anywhere near the issue, despite like whenever a season starts, your entire friends list, it turns into D's. Everyone's playing Diablo at the start of the season, and it takes a while for your characters to actually create because there's so many people going and creating characters. Like whenever we do our streams, it's like, okay, it's 8 o'clock, let's go and rush and create our characters, and then we always remember, oh yeah, it takes like 5 minutes. Just sitting there waiting for the character to actually like create or roll over or rebirth into the new seasonal character. But it's like you can't talk about Diablo 3 without at least acknowledging all the hilarity that was launched. And it's kind of like a lot of that stigma that still sticks to the game that I think the dev team is still, I would imagine it probably still kind of like stings a little bit that you can't talk about Diablo without like mentioning like Era 37, if you're talking about it like a remembrance or anything like that. And how, anything that you do, you always will have that little tiny thing like overshadowing everything. But, obviously the game has come so far, and that it's even when it went from, by the time original had ended, with the Paragon level, the easing of Inferno, monster power, all those different settings that changed the game and made it, I don't want to say like it made it fun because I had fun with the game from the beginning, and it was one of those that even though I got really frustrated early on because I played a monk and I just could not I couldn't get past like the Black Canyon mines in Act Two because of the bees, as a melee character, it was almost everything was just like instant death for me. Luckily, I was playing softcore, and I was a noob back at the time. Well, I'm still a noob. Everybody knows that. I'm always wrong. But I had to end up rolling a wizard just so that way I could get to a high enough not difficulty but to like Acts 3 and 4 so that way I could farm the item level 63 gear to buff my monk, and eventually went through and I beat Inferno Diablo. It was of course on softcore. I beat him before he was nerfed but after energy armor was nerfed, so I got like that little weird in-between point when it was at its most difficulty, I guess, somewhat like something around there. But anyway, that of course was fun. I'm wondering if we'll get like another kind of like post-mortem on the auction house. That always seems to be a popular topic, even nowadays, for people to talk about, because there's still some. I mentioned a couple episodes. I was talking about a friend of mine, Tim, that still hadn't gotten Reaper of Souls, but now he's like enjoying the game and like all these like massive changes, and he's like, oh shit, the game was good. It's like, yeah, if you only listened to me like 2 years ago and bought in the game. But he was most put off because of the lack of the auction house. That was something that he thoroughly enjoyed, and now that it's gone, even though he wasn't using it to like flip and make real money or anything like that, it's just he liked playing the market and getting gold to get better gear. And everyone has their own thoughts and opinions on what Diablo was like back then. Hopefully it's won most people over, with Reaper and the subsequent patches and all the future content that will be coming to the game. We'll wait and see how many more like 2.4s we get, if there's going to be any other like Kunai's cubes or talismans or Devil's Hands being added in later. But it's definitely a lot of fond memories to go and look back, and I can't wait to hear some of Steven's thoughts next week about like what how he feels about the fourth anniversary and what to look forward to or look back on. But speaking of the official news and that the article series that they had for the Diablo Then and Now, there was also a small little community spotlight that was put up on the official website that has a whole bunch of class guides specifically set for 2.4.1. So if you're trying out a new class for the first time, or you want to try something different with a class that you already play, definitely go and check out this post. There's a bunch that are text guides, there's a bunch that are video guides that cover like all the big popular builds, not just for high torment, but maybe it's not high torment, but higher greater rifts, and maybe it's just for some torment 10 farming. So it's worth going through, taking a look at. There's also some content guides for finding cosmetic items, like the best farming routes for goblins, where you find the cosmic wings or falcon wings if you're still going and hunting some of the cosmetic items. And we actually had a confirmation. No one's posted as if they found it, and we've had no one actually finding that. We were talking about it a couple episodes ago, that Khazra pennant, the little flag that you wear on your back. But we have confirmation from Nevelistus just a couple days ago that it is in the game. It is there. It was added in 2.4.1, but she didn't want to reveal any details about where you might have to look to find it, because this is something that they're having fun with, seeing like us go through and try and like struggle to find it and go crazy pulling your hair out. But the thing that we got wrong is it's not a Khazra pennant, it's a fallen pennant. And if we go back and look at the other things that have existed in the game, that to me has two possibilities. One is going to drop off of one of the rare spawn fallen mobs, so one of the fallen with a purple name, that's mainly through act the various places in Act Two that they could be. That's one potential place where they could be obtained from, a chance on drop after you kill those mobs. Or the other thought that occurred to me is it could be in Den of the Fallen in Act One. Maybe it is a rare spawning chest that spawns in one of the levels in Den of the Fallen. I don't know. It's some of the things that I've thought about. Of course, I've not put any of that into action yet, and I do have to give credit over to Miss Cheetah for going and pointing out to me. What was I saying about pointing that out to me in the pre-show that we were doing here for the show? Because I had missed that post from Nevelistus. So we know that, we have to go killing Fallen and not Khazra, something like that. Well, we'll have to see, but so far no one's come up with anything as far as at least confirms of it dropping. Who knows? So we'll have to, maybe within the next couple of days, now that everyone is going and killing like every single fallen in existence, that we might have a little bit more information on that by next week's episode, that someone's actually found it and created a guide. But I do also like to point out an interesting article that Steven actually went through and found. This was actually linked from DiabloII.net, but it was an article posted to Gamasutra, and it is written by Stig Hedlund. I hope I got that right. And he was someone that actually had worked on both Diablo, and Diablo 2, including Lord of Destruction. And it was just kind of like his breakdown on the future of action RPGs. And it kind of breaks it down, well, what was the precursor to action RPGs, and how it goes back to like pen and paper role-playing games. Its differences with, say, like the Japanese RPGs or JRPGs. And then you went through and you had the like that they took it a step further, going from like Final Fantasy or Mystic Quest to something along the lines of Diablo, and like what what characterizes an action RPG? And he says, like, some of the things that are always common amongst these is, skill-based combat systems, loot. You have character progression, so that way you have something that you're either leveling up or, like the Paragon system, something that you kind of go and improve the power of your character outside of loot and things of that nature. But there's all these different ways that the game can be played and how combat can be portrayed. Even some of them are, like the old Baldur's Gate like turn-based games, or you have like your even your like point of view, like the isometric like 3D view of Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 compared to something that might be over the shoulder like Hellgate London. There's a bunch of different categories that you can classify like these ARPGs, but how has the nature evolved? And one of the big things is, it's gone from kind of what was, with the Baldur's Gate days, a single player game, that now it's multiplayer. Path to Exile, Diablo 3, are all like really big multiplayer games, and that's something that kind of like is that people kind of expect from that. But you also have other games like Neverwinter, that is, you could easily classify that as an ARPG instead of an MMO. Just it's the way that it plays and feels. It's very much so an action RPG in the way that it goes, and kind of just you get this feeling for it. And one of the things for me, like what I would consider a difference between, like say like an RPG like, Skyrim or one of the Elder Scrolls games versus Diablo is, how much does it feel like I'm playing like Dungeons and Dragons? Now, like based on that, like Diablo 3 is definitely separated from that. But like in the old D2 system, you're like sitting there with like a pen and paper and your like character sheet. You've got, you have your roll to hit, so you have to have your dex higher just so that way you can hit the mob, and you're worrying about like, well, what's its defense, or what's, so maybe if I have to do like negative to its defense to improve my attack rating so I can actually hit it. And there's all these other like little tiny mathematical things, that like to me like really felt like tabletop RPG, and the series itself is kind of getting away from that a little bit. And so, when you're looking to the future, what would classify it? Is it something, are they going to continue to go and step further and further away from that? Will we go back to, will we go back to skill points, or, something along those lines? I don't know, but that's, where the future takes us. Like in Diablo 4, if they make a Diablo 4 as opposed to an expansion pack 2 or what have you, if they go a different way, how much are they going to stick to the style of the previous games? Could we switch from an isometric view to a 3D view? Or what they might even do if there's other ARPGs that come out. How close are we going to get to the lines of, an Elder Scrolls game? Like are those like the definitions of RPG going to get blurred, or are we going to kind of like push it back more towards, something a bit tabletop? Well, we'll have to go and see. That pretty much brings us up to the end of topics that I had here to discuss, without Steven. Some of these are more, some of the we do have some other things, on the agenda to go and talk about, but they're more like discussion topics. And of course, like the things that I just talked about, well, I would love to hear Steven's opinions on them, especially like the future of RPGs or ARPGs, I should say, as well as some of his thoughts, looking back at the beginning of Diablo 3. But we'll cover those next week, when we go and get there. But before I head out, I do want to cover a couple emails that we got from the community here these past 2 weeks. And so I've got a lore question here from 69ball, and he goes and asks, "Recently, I've taken an interest in the lore of Diablo when I actually started reading all the flavor text on legendary items that I've gathered. All of them are pretty neat. They have a great story to tell, and they really opened up my imagination. Although one particular item that stood out and are my personal favorites is the Wrath of the Wastes in the Rakdos sets. So basically, with Wrath of the Waste, it details the horrifying stories of various barbarian tribes as one from each of them travel across what is only told to us as the Wasteland and their encounters with a group of unnamed cannibalistic barbarians that inhabit these lands. My question is, who are these cannibalistic barbarians and what exactly are the Wastelands? My guess is that they're definitely not related to the barbarians that we're familiar with from Diablo 2 and 3. And there's no like concrete definitive answer for this particular question, but there's a couple things that it could be. Like the Wastelands, if you look at any of the maps of Sanctuary, there's no place specifically listed as the Wastelands. But it kind of could draw from the Dreadlands. There's some place that we do know, which is east of Mount Ariat or Ariat Crater. Now, these cannibalistic barbarians, there is a group that matches up closely to them in the lore, which are those that were infected kind of with the Blood Rage. They got controlled by a demon. Now, this happened after Diablo 2 and the destruction of Mount Ariat, and this would lend itself, of course, that the Wastelands would be the Dreadlands, which were kind of they got corrupted by all this demonic energy after the explosion of Mount Ariat. And there's a group of like cannibalistic barbarians that go through, and they feed off of their fellow kin or anyone that they come across, but they also try to infect as many others with their blood to spread this demonic influence that goes around. That's one potential group that it could have been. But if this happens before, or even has nothing in relation to them, then at that point it's something that I don't know. We just there's all these little tiny things that they can come up with the flavor text on items that might not have any precedence in lore. A lot of these things actually never existed before and only now have these little stories in the flavor text of items. Is a lot of the stuff that also like hints at like these little epic storylines, which is something that I loved in Diablo 2. Everybody that's played Diablo 2 knows the Countess, but if you think about it, it's like, why are we killing her? She doesn't have any relation to Diablo or anything like that. But there's that, if you when you're playing it the first time, and you're exploring every single, tile on your map, you'll come across, I believe it was the Dusty Tome or the Black Tome in the Stony Field, and there we'll talk about the Countess in how she would have like this untold treasure, in the bottom of her tower. And so that was giving you the reason of why, oh shit, that's you're like going through the Black Marsh at that point, and then it's like, oh shit, there's the tower. There's treasure down there. Let me go through and get it. I need gear. I want loot. So that's one of those things that I liked all that like kind t tiny little things that they added into the game to make it feel more like a living, breathing world. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and there's all these other evils that are out there besides, there's a lot more than just like Diablo and Hell, that there's things that are going on. That was, really cool aspect of 2.4 of Gray Hollow Island, is that there's something now that has absolutely nothing related to the eternal conflict, but there's evil out there. There's like this big, mystery and this, sadistic cult that's out there that you have to go and investigate, and you get all these like little clues and hints about what might have happened, to the all the people that were living there. And so, it's really, really cool what they do with these the flavor text on these items. And who knows? They might never expand upon it, but they might go back and take a look at it. We might get ourselves like a book of Leah, or a book of another lore book to follow up the Book of Cain and Book of Tyriel. Is in in the we got the lore and background on Pendleskin, eventually. So who knows? They might talk about those cannibalistic tribes that are going out there and hunting in these wastelands. We first, hopefully, we'll find out where the wastelands themselves are. But yeah, I definitely recommend if you never have checked out the flavor text on your items, just go and look at it. So I love like the flavor text, excuse me, on like Veers. the Vera set. So it's, see, just look at your favorite set of gear that you like playing with and find out the story behind it and see if it, makes it any cooler to you. If you care about lore or story or anything like that, it's definitely worth checking out. Our next item, our next email comes in from Alexander. He writes, "Hi guys, I've just been listening to your podcast and was really intrigued by your discussion of problems with bounties. As a software engineer, it got me thinking, how can we stop disconnects causing you to lose your progression within an act without requiring server resources to preserve session states? And I came up with the following idea. What if instead of completing 5 bounties in order to get the act-specific cache, why not have each bounty drop a cache shard, and when you get 5 shards of a specific act, you can hand them in for a cache? Bonus acts could award 2 shards per bounty instead of one. Then this will cause an efficiency drop in group play. If you're just waiting for a last bounty or the bonus act, it can be finished in order for finish in order for the bonus is to act. Sorry, this word is a little bit weird. But if you're just waiting for the last bounty of a bonus act to be finished in order for the blob is act to changes. But if would deal with the issue of disconnects. I think that he's going through and trying to say that this will cause a problem with group play, or where if you finish going through and doing all the bounties and then you invite a bunch of your friends into the game and go and complete them all real quick so other people could benefit from it. But this would require you to actually be out there and completing the individual bounties themselves so that way you could get the shards to go and turn it in. And then with regards to reducing the number of bounties needed in solo play, the only realistic implementation is to prevent exploration, would be to lock the game so that way other players could not join you. Yeah, I guess it's definitely is one way of thinking about of changing it up where the individual bounties reward you an item that you can then trade in to get the cash. And it'd be interesting to see how they might implement that. And I'm still waiting to hear from the devs and see how they feel the bounty system is working out, whether it still needs that bonus act as type of a gating, to prevent people from just going and chain farming different places, because that was originally done to try and prevent people from like just chain running Act One over and over and over, but we don't really necessarily need that anymore because the only thing that people use bounties for is the bounty mats. And I do wonder, I don't know if anybody remembers like back in the old D2 days, but you could go in like. If you wanted to be really risky, like none of your friends were on, and you had like tons of gear and you just could not hold on to it, and you wanted to like leave an item on the ground in Act One and then quickly flop characters so that way you could potentially get back into that game before it deleted. But if they could implement some sort of system like that where it actually just like saves your game, or if you like even like a password protect. For your games for people to go through and join in. So you could drop an item on the ground, leave, switch characters, and then come back. I know they don't do it now because your stash is shared between characters, so there's no reason for that. But if there was some way that the server would at least hold the game for a little bit, and when you like log back in and you wanted to start adventure mode again, it could go through and said, well, your game was registered as a disconnect. Would you like to start again? Would you like to load this map again or something along those lines? Or, if there was something that could just cache it at least for like a minute or two. Because a lot of times your disconnects are like a hiccup and you're right back in, afterwards. It wasn't like the problem that I had over the weekend where it was actually like my own connection and so I couldn't play for the rest of the evening. But if that was something that could be done. But again, that, like what Alexander was trying to go through and take a look at it is how could it be done without using server resources? And so, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that it could be done or ways that it could be changed in order to kind of solve this problem of a disconnect during a solo bounty farm. We'll have to wait and see if it's something that the devs even consider a problem at this point. And this also just goes like back to, like talking with people like Lala or Nerdwords and such that don't really do like a lot of bounties, especially like Nerdwords. He did one set of bounties, and like that's it. I think he actually said that he did two like this season. It's like double the amount that he's ever done because he plays very specific builds, and he is a very prepared person. He's talked about on the show about how he's got like whiteboards and stuff like that of all the information and things that he needs to do, for the beginning of each new season. And so he'll have a particular build in mind, and he knows like all the best items for it. And so he'll do one run of bounties. He gets, his eight is a set of eight bounty mats, so he can cube his eight items, and then that's it. He like cubes five, and he's got three left over in case he wants to play around with something else, and that's it. He's set, done. I'm good. Never doing another bounty for the rest of the season. Game over. So some people dislike bounties about as much as most of the people listening to the show seem to dislike set dungeons. Don't know. Don't know. It might not be a big enough priority to necessitate, development time to be put in to go and do it. If there's not enough people complaining about it, then why really go through and waste a precious resource like dev time of going and doing it when who knows what else is kind of brewing in the background. The last email that I'm going to read for tonight is coming in from Sergeant Psycho. Sup, fellas. I was listening to your last episode talking to the individual that was concerned about being gone due to work or travel or something. And let me be the first to say that I know from personal experience that just a heads up can excuse business trips, like in his particular instance, of for 9 months. To places like the Desolate Sands. I heard that discussion, so I had to write in considering I've had the longest inactive character, with, of course, without being a founding member of the BlizzPro. Not just the clan, but a founding member of the website. And if you look at the clan roster, you can figure out who it is. I'm just gonna say that much. But well, on to season six. I'm jumping ahead of the call for seasonal goals. But to start off, my first goal was at Sweet Stash Tab. During this time, I've attempted to keep my clutter down to a minimum. The rollover at the end of last season was killer in my organization, and so far this season, I've gone with my tried and true Demon Hunter, two even. One for speed farming and one for greater rifts. I can't wait until Blizzard can work out a quick change system. I know that's something that I've talked about wanting for forever. And my Greater Rift Demon Hunter currently uses the Cold Marauder 6 build. My Greater Rift Demon Hunter currently uses the Cold M6 build that came with the Seasonal Journey rewards. First time I've attempted M6 since Sentries fired all the spenders on your bar automatically, and Taskers for Demon Hunters was a thing that triggers me. For new listeners to the show, and by new I mean if you listen within like the since season three, I think it was, when I finally stopped complaining about Taskers and Theos. But season one, Demon Hunters with M6, that was like the key thing to do when you didn't have to cast it. The sentries would cast your spenders automatically for you, and there was a cooldown on how often that they would use certain ones, and you had attack speed breakpoints that you had to accumulate to have them fire faster. And so Taskers was the absolute best thing for you, combined with a Ring of Royal Grandeur, so that way you could still maintain the 6-piece set bonus. And I could not find one for the life of me during all of season one. And it just became a running joke of me trying to find a Tasker in Theo. And everyone would go, "Oh, hey, look, I got a Tasker." And people would send in Taskers and such. And then it was like the second legendary I found on the season two, the 2.1.2 PTR was a Tasker in Theo gloves. But then with that patch, they changed the functionality of Marauders. So it wasn't needed anymore. Taskers was just like, nope. It's okay, fine, you can do without. He says, "I'm finding it a bit clunky, though that might be from comparing it to my speed gold farming UE build. With all that lead up, I've decided that this season I'm going to try out Legacy of Nightmares Fan of Knives build. I'm decent with Unhallowed Essence and M6 stuff already, non-seasonal, even trying out the Legacy of Nightmares Fan of Knives stuff, but I couldn't justify the time required to augment a new build during last season. I'll start fresh this time. I was in the field when I saw the YouTube updates from Leviathan's channel, so congrats on quickly conquering all of those conquests, and good luck with the rest of your seasons, guys. And once again, Leviathan, rule number one, don't die. Which apparently I need that advice as well. But, yeah. Thank you to you guys for going through and writing in. That is not the end of it. If I didn't get to your email or if I might have skipped it over, don't worry. We, of course, will go through and we'll get to that next week when we cover the rest of the community feedback. But for now, that is all. So definitely thank everyone that's went through and submitted their thoughts and ideas. And by all means, we'd like to hear more. If you have any questions, comments, or items to send in, or if you want to tell us how you're doing in your season, how you're doing towards your season journey and your seasonal goals, please feel free to email us. The email address is westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. You can also go through and chat with us on Twitter. The official show Twitter account is at the WM Workshop. And you can catch the show live here on twitch.tv/blizzpro. We're here every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And while you're checking out the show, go ahead, click that follow button. But we'd also love it if you hit the subscribe button as well to go through and keep all of these lovely shows supported on the air to help cover some of the back-end costs for the hosting of the podcasts as well as BlizzPro itself. But we have a whole bunch of other shows that you should definitely check out. Sunday nights is the Well Met, our Hearthstone podcast. Tuesday nights is the Heroes Power Hour. Wednesday nights, of course, is Westmarch Workshop covering Diablo. And Thursday nights is Payload, our Overwatch podcast, as they're getting ramped up to the release of the game next week. Dang. Overwatch comes out next week. That's kind of creeped up on me there. But getting back to the other stuff, you can also check out our main website, diablo.blizzpro.com. We are also in game. We are the BlizzPro clan. The roster is full and the waiting list is ginormous. But we do appreciate it if you go through and email us and tell us a little bit about yourself. We do give precedence to those who, just let us know who they are or what they're looking to do once they join the clan. And you can send that to our email address again, which is westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. If you don't want to leave your current clan, you can also join our in-game community, which is just Westmarch Workshop, if you do a search in the community section. And then, of course, you can go and hang out and chat with us, where we've been on Discord quite a bit since the beginning of the season. It's HTTP. I don't even need to say that. Why am I saying that? It's just discord.blizzpro.com. You can check it out through the web browser, or you can also download the Discord app, your whatever you so choose. And then, of course, you can follow us individually. I am at NineBallGamer on Twitter, and even though he is not here right now, you can follow Leviathan at SAStewart111 on Twitter, and he does stream from time to time. He's been streaming a lot this season, not so much these past couple weeks as life has been busy, but you can follow Leviathan's channel over at twitch.tv/leviathan111. And with that, going to close out the show, everybody. And again, by all means, go through. Next week, we should be back with the full roster together again, unless we go through and do our tag team that we were doing at the beginning of the season, where Leviathan will do the solo episode next week, then I'll take the week off. Who knows? I hope we're not starting that again. Definitely, definitely, yeah, definitely, definitely, yeah. But with that, everybody, good night.